Yeah, and it's coming up at 8 o'clock. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys. And before we get to Greg, of course, we have to get to the most pressing things said by our station's guests today. So let's do it with the station buzz. All right, let's kick things off with Andrew Siciliano, Browns Radio Network, on with Baskin and Phelps today, and he gave his ideal situation for the Browns at quarterback.
Do you think the Browns would like to see Kenny Pickett come in and look really good in his fourth NFL season and be the guy? A 40-year-old Joe Flacco look like he did for five games, or one of these rookies surprise like crazy and just flat out go win that starting job?
I think there's no wrong answer to any of those. I think in a perfect scenario in December, the Browns are playing meaningful football with at least an idea of who their long-term answer could be.
Again, it goes back to a lot of what we just talked about. You're going to have to find a long-term answer. And I think Kenny Pickett fits at least the billing for a potential of a guy that can do that. Just because of the age, I don't really think Kenny Pickett can do it. Sorry, disclaimer. But I think that if you wanted to go in with the idea that, hey, we want to maybe give everybody a chance in this room who is of the right age that you could play him for the next 10 years, Kenny Pickett's a fine idea to go for week one. But as I said within the last, 10 or so minutes, you go Shador. At some point, you turn it over to Shador, unless Kenny Pickett is lighting the world on fire. And if Shador Sanders, after, a handful of games, isn't lighting the world on fire, guess what? You probably turn it to Dylan Gabriel. You got to go through all your options this year. Until you find something that sticks, you're throwing anything at the wall and trying to see if it will. It's the bottom line. It should be the only focus for the Browns this year in getting ready for 2026. Unless you go out and start to compete and actually think you make a playoff game, which I think then you're finding your future at quarterback anyway. Your only goal is to find out who the quarterback can be of the future and whether or not that guy's sitting in the 2026 draft class or currently sitting on your roster. Let's keep the conversation around the Browns going. Jamel White of Spectrum One also on with Baskin and Phelps today, giving his thoughts on Sir Nicholas Chubb.
All right, you look at Nick's situation. He got to start thinking, all right, when you go to the table and they talk to you, they already know what he wants. They already know what his mentality is. Is he willing to take a step back and be like, you know what? I know my role here. That's like the Bulls back in the day. Everybody knew their role, and they didn't say nothing. They knew MJ was the guy, and they just had to play off of him. Can he be that guy for them? If they bring him in, you want a situation where it's not like Baker Mayfield's, where you're not being honest with him. You want to be straight up with him, be like, listen, we might give you league minimum, but we want you in the running back room. This is going to be your job. Maybe we'll use you short yardage, but we're bringing you in here for these other young dudes so they can learn off of you. We'll put you in the game, let you be short yardage guy. And then hopefully, something happens in the, I don't want to say hopefully, but if something happens within the season and he gets more playing time and he can show that he's back to his old self, now he has a new opportunity.
Again, I think that we're pretty much, nailed closed on the casket here for Nick Chubb in Cleveland. Not on his career. I think he still has a chance to go out and compete somewhere else, and he deserves that opportunity. But as it stands right now, I think you're pretty much done on the Nick Chubb experiment. You saw it out. You gave him a ton of years, multiple contracts, and it's good. But if you were to bring him back, Jamel's right. You 100% bring him back essentially in a mentor-type role. Be like, hey, your job is to teach everybody else in this room how to be a professional, what you need to do. And I think Nick Chubb, while maybe not the best mentor archetype type of player to have in your room, he's definitely going to be able to show you how to work. If nothing else, it's a guy in the room that you learn from and hopefully adopt the work ethic of. So there's never a massive negative coming in, but you have to make it very clear to Nick, your job's not coming here to play football, essentially. You're a break glass in case of emergency type of guy. We're not looking to play you all that much. And I just don't think that's something the Browns are interested in doing, nor do I think it should be something that the Browns are interested in doing. Your goal right now is get younger and get quality younger players in the room. And the only thing that you can latch on to is don't take reps away from guys that can be players in the future. That's Dylan Sampson. That's Quinshon Judkins. You want as many reps at running back to those two guys as you can possibly get. Everyone else has to be sort of an afterthought in this room. As bad as it is and sounds to say that, that has to be your focus. The Browns can't look to turn anywhere else. They can't look to be going and giving Nick Chubb extra reps. Hey guys, we've seen that. We've done it. If he goes and balls out for somebody else, well, that's great. Even if he balled out here, Browns still probably aren't winning very many games. And are you signing Nick Chubb to a multi-year contract coming up on the age of 30? Probably not. Not many running backs get contracts in that age range. It's like Derrick Henry and congratulations. That's about where you reach the end. Anybody getting paid legitimate money to be a starting running back? That you're on one-year contracts. You're in absolute filler contract territory going into age 30. It gave Nick Chubb a long running back career in Cleveland. I think we have to be sort of happy with the close and where we got to with that, even if it was disappointing and came with an injury and it really didn't feel like he got the fair shake. All right, more Browns coming your way, but more on the stadium side. Let's get to Dale Ryder, our very own, on with Ken and Anthony this morning, talking about how the state of Ohio is going to look to fund the Brook Park Dome.
I don't think the state of Ohio is going to do a TIF with the bonds. I do think they're going to do the gambling tax, not the increase the governor was looking for, which was a 20% increase. I think a 10 to 15% increase is on the table. Admissions tax, income tax, parking tax would help Brook Park fund their bonds. A 1% bed tax, a rental car fee, sales tax, property tax, sin tax would have helped the county come up with their $178 million contribution.
Yeah, I think it's Daryl's trying to lay out. And listen, I'm far away the political guy here. Not going to find you in government and taxes and everything else. Okay, I'm 23 years old. I hardly pay taxes myself. Okay, I go through, use a website and let them do everything for me. And have never learned any other way. Haven't had to learn very many other things either. But the vibe that I get from it is essentially, I'm not going to go through and just jump the Brook Park property tax to make everybody get absolutely blown out of the water in the money that they have to pay. No, let's go tax the things that already we're taxing. Let's just raise those a little bit, such as the sin tax, where we're talking about going through and gambling and charging a little bit more for that type of money and going through and, you know, the cost of the cigarettes, alcohol, stuff like that. Let's go ahead and start taxing that stuff a little bit heavier. And then we can get to, we're starting to pay for the dome. We're starting to do that in funding it in the state of Ohio rather than actually making life miserable for the people that are living there, which again, I don't think you have to make a big plea and a big case to the people living in Brook Park that you're going to want the dome. But if you needed it, I think this is just another positive in that direction. It feels like it's a done deal at this point. It feels like the dome is going to be underway and there's nothing that's going to stop Jimmy Haslam and crew from getting that done. All right, let's move on to the world of baseball. Anthony Castrovince, MLB.com, covering your Cleveland Guardians on with Baskin and Phelps today. And he talked about the middle infield and its future outlook for the Cleveland Guardians.
When you look at Schneeman's profile, I mean, it looks pretty legit in terms of what's under the hood. Arias is maybe a little more shaky in that area, but, you know, that's a guy who was at one time identified as perhaps a cornerstone type player up the middle. So I don't put it past them to keep it going. But again, if it doesn't, I mean, Travis Bazzana is doing great things at AA. You know, and I think it's realistic you could see him before the end of the season. Juan Brito is hurt, and that stinks because that's a guy they really hope to turn to if need be early in the season. So that he's not an option for them until the second half, but he will probably be an option for them at some point.
I think the middle infield, honestly, since you sent down Brian Arocchio, in which I give a big round of applause and a big happiness thought out for me, but since you sent it down, I don't think you're in good territory, but you're in, like, survivable territory where Schneeman's looked good, Gabriel Arias has looked pretty good, and I think you're really happy with what the output is that you're getting there. I don't know that that upholds. I don't know that you're not looking to, at some point, turn to Juan Brito, like Anthony says. but I think you just kind of let it sit, pat it where it's at. This is going to be a big test for the Guardians of, let's just take whatever middle infielder is there and ride their performance until the wheels fall off. Are you going to go out and continue to hit 260 plus and get on base and maybe deliver some RBIs? If so, congratulations. You've bought yourself a spot in the lineup because that's what's keeping our head above water. We don't have cornerstone middle infielders. We're waiting on Travis Bazana, which is still down in Double A. And if I'm not mistaken, landed himself on the injured list as well. So you're waiting on him. You're just buying time. That's all you're doing at this point. I think you're making an evaluation if Gabriel Arias is someone you can leave there. And signs are pointing towards, hopefully, yes. But that's about the only thing you're doing. Steven's a placeholder. Juan Brito, in some capacity, if Arias works out, would be a placeholder. Or in the exact same spot that Arias is in right now. But that's all you're looking to do with this group. You're not looking to go and actually extend out and do anything crazy. Because that would just be absolutely wild. You got guys coming up. Just play it calm. You got middle infielders on middle infielders. Which, by the way, Angel Martinez, also an option. All right, let's get to the last one here. Guardians dropping to the Reds today by a final score of 5-4. Chris Welsh, the Reds broadcast analyst, on with Afternoon Drive at Nick and JP today. And he talked about how the team down in Cincinnati learning the ways of Tito Francona.
Tito is a refreshing guy to be around. I think he's got a young ball club here that needs to learn the Tito style of play, which is a little bit more fundamental, a little bit more old-fashioned baseball. I think when they get that going, they're going to have a pretty good second half.
Yeah, the Reds are just one of those teams now that with Tito in the manager spot, it's the same way with the Guardians. You're going to look at it and you go, man, this team continues to compete. They continue to get up there, above the 500 mark and also playing in the NL Central, which is, at the time Tito was here, very similar to playing in the AL Central at different times. But it's like, oh, you're kind of near the top of the division and fighting for a divisional lead, even though if you win, you'll have the worst record among division winners. That's all you need. It's all it takes to win the division. I think the Reds will be right there in that spot and trying to compete for a position near the top of the NL Central. And Tito teams do just somehow find a way to turn it up in the back half. You end up with a lot more veteran guys mixed with rookie guys. And if nothing else, Tito's going to make a decent team good and a good team pretty good. Right? I just don't know that he's going to, at this point in his career, really elevate your team to great. And I don't think the Reds are ready to be activated to great. But when you go from anybody that you're cycling in and out of at manager to Tito Francona, the organization should feel happy. They should feel optimistic. And rightfully so, Chris Welsh and the Reds over there are feeling that way. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. Come back here in 5 minutes. Greg Swartz, Bleacher Report. Talk to him about the Cavs offseason outlook coming up at 8 o'clock right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.